Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the home of our beloved Atlanta Hawks, Rick Kamla and John Michaels. And we have a future superstar on the WadeFort.com hotline. His name is Trey Young. We love this dude. We're fans. We've interviewed him a couple of times. It's always been a blast. Trey, thank you, brother. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing good. Good morning to you guys.
Yeah, man. So let's get into it. So you are on fire right now. 24-11 against OKC. 26-10 against Milwaukee. Back-to-back dubs. Last six games, you've gone 24-26, 18-17, 19-19. Where is this consistency coming from, Trey? Is it coming from, like, being more selective with your three-point shot? Please explain for us.
I really just think it's just growing and playing more games throughout the season. Just getting more comfortable. It's starting to come to a point where I'm seeing these teams for a second and third time, so I'm starting to feel more comfortable with who we're playing. And, I mean, just knowing the scouting report, and I think it's, at the end of the day, it's just me being more comfortable, and I think it's showing.
Trey, the challenge of going against a guy like Russell Westbrook the other night, it seemed like you saw that challenge and you met it head on. What's the competitive drive with you when you see that elite-level point guard on the other side? Is it kind of, I got to prove to these guys I belong in the league, or is that just something in you that you've got that fire knowing that you're going against a better dude?
Yeah, no, I think it's just the competitive drive in me. I mean, I was getting that question a lot. Just from growing up in Oklahoma and going all the Thunder games growing up and just being a fan of Russell growing up as a kid and how I'd react going up against him now. And I mean, I was just having the same answer. It's just in my competitive gene to go up and compete against one of the great point guards in our league today. And I love competing at a high level against really good players. So.
Trey Young hanging out with Rick and John here on the home of the Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Trey, what did you learn about yourself going up against the great Russell Westbrook?
I mean, just that I belong. I belong in this league, and I mean, I can compete with anybody in this league on any given night, and that's just what I got from that. And I mean, everybody knows Russell. I mean, was an MVP a few years ago, and he's been playing at such a high level lately, and it's shown. So I think it just showed that, I mean, I belong in this league, and I mean, I can compete at a high level.
Obviously, you and Luka Doncic are tied together because of the draft night trade, and a lot of the national pundits are lauding Dallas for how great they've done. Do you hear any of that conversation about the comparisons with you and Luka, and what do you think about it if you do?
Yeah, I mean, I know that's going to be something that's tied too between me and him for a long time, probably to the end of our careers. But I mean, you can't really miss it. He's on ESPN every day, talking about it all the time. And, I mean, deservedly so. I mean, he's been playing really well this year. But at the same time, I don't really focus on what he's doing or what Dallas is doing. All I can focus on is, I mean, how I can improve and, I mean, help this team win and help this franchise get to where it should be and where it needs to be. And so that's all I focus on. And, I mean, we're both around the bottom of our conferences. So we're at the similar mark when it comes to that.
Well, look, man, you guys are chopping wood. You're starting to win some games, starting to turn the corner a little bit. And we're all watching, Trey, and we're all pulling for you guys. Now, look, John Collins gives me major Amari Stoudemire vibes, okay? The height, the weight, the hops, the J, all the stuff, right? The activity, the lateral movement. It just screams Amari Stoudemire. You, of course, and by the way, Lloyd Pierce and Mike Budenholzer have agreed with that comparison. You adore Steve Nash. He was a hero of you coming up. You pattern a lot of your game after him. I've heard you say that a bunch. Do you guys kind of talk and, you know, joke maybe sarcastically about being the next Nash and Stoudemire?
Rick, I agree with you about, I mean, Stoudemire with John. That's someone definitely think he, I mean, plays a lot of like as well. But no, we don't really joke about it. We don't really bring it up to each other. I mean, we're around each other, and I mean, we go out in public sometimes, and it'll get brought up, or I mean, people will call us that, and I mean, we take it, and we laugh about it. I mean, they were a great duo, obviously. So, but at the same time, we try to create our own way and own path, but definitely follow with, I mean, the greats and like what Amari and Steve did. So, I mean, I take that as a compliment. So,
we've got Trey Young with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Trey, when we talked to you back after draft day and you did the media stuff, you mentioned, hey, I got to get to an Atlanta United match. And then a couple of weeks later, you were there. I think you got to bang the golden spike. What was it like for you just being at Atlanta United? Did it live up to the hype that we gave you?
Oh, for sure. I think even more. The Atlanta United game was crazy, unbelievable. I've never been to a soccer game in person. And for that being my first one, it was probably the best experience I could have had. And I was happy they were able to win it all this year. So I was rooting for them all year. But, no, that was an unbelievable match because that was the first one I've ever been to. So it was a crazy atmosphere for sure.
Trey, we're new to it as well, man, and we're just in love, head over heels with Atlanta United. And soon this city is going to be cheering on you and John and Herter and all the other guys in a similar fashion in big, big games, you know, that really, really matter. Trey Young hanging out with Rick and John here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So I want to talk with you about MLK Day. It is one of the biggest days of the NBA regular season. It's right up there with Christmas. There's waves of games all day, a bunch of national TV coverage of it, and obviously the impact of it being honoring and tributing the great, the late great Martin Luther King Jr. So this is your first MLK Day, man. It's coming up Monday, 3 o'clock at State Farm Arena against the Magic. It'll be heard right here on the home of the Hawks. Are you excited for it? Any special plans for it going into your first MLK Day as a pro?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm for sure excited about it. I'm very honored to be able to play, I mean, on such a great day, celebrating and honoring, I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. So I'm super excited. There's some things I got in mind for that day. I don't want to spoil anything and tell you guys anything ahead of time, but there's definitely something I got in mind for that day.
Now, would that include maybe some custom shoes? Because we love to see guys always have the fresh kicks when they come out and play on a game like this.
Yeah. There's some things in works right now. I've done it, some custom shoes for a few games this year. So maybe I have to do something for MLK Day.
I love it, man. Trey Young, we're enjoying the heck out of this, dude. All right, so first MLK Day, and guess what? First All-Star Weekend. Coming up next month in Charlotte. I don't know if you're going to be there, Trey. Okay, they do this thing with first and second year guys. You're one of the best rookies by far. You're going to be in that game. So are you already kind of thinking ahead to Charlotte and All-Star Weekend?
I don't want to live too far ahead because we got some games we got to play. And hopefully we win before that. I'm definitely been thinking about it. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting out there. Nothing's been finalized or announced yet, so don't want to jinx myself. But if I'm out there, I'm definitely going to enjoy it. So.
Now we had John Collins on a couple of weeks, or maybe about a week ago, right after you guys had played Miami on the Sunday here when you blew them out. You got the Dwayne Wade jersey. You did the jersey exchange.
Yeah.
I asked John. I said, "How'd you let Trey get the jersey?" He goes, "Man, he just got to him first." What was the process to get Dwayne Wade to do the jersey exchange with you?
Yeah, I texted him actually the night before, and I was like, "Yo, D, I need that jersey. I need that jersey tomorrow. It's your last time at ATL." And he was like, "For sure, I got you." Well, we were talking about another conversation, and at the end, I had to remind him again. I was like, "Hey, D, don't forget. I need that jersey tomorrow." And he was just like, "I got you," and that's how it happened. And so after the game, I knew I was going to get it.
So you completely bum rushed him is what happened, Trey. And we heard John wanted the jersey too, and he was like, "Dang, Trey beat me to him, man." What are you a salesman in your part time? What's going on here?
Yeah, I beat him to it. I'm glad I got it on this last time. It was crazy because I've always been a big D-Way fan. He's given me a lot of advice throughout this last year and a half, and so I had his number and I could text him too. So that was pretty cool.
What is the best advice any player from an opposing team has given you so far in your rookie year?
I mean, someone who I talk to and idolize a lot, is KD. So something he told me is just like to always remain who I am, no matter what's going on, the ups and downs of the NBA season, what people are saying in the media, just to always remain who I am and true to myself. So.
It's good advice, and I think KD gets way too much criticism for the decision to go to Golden State. They lost the finals the year before he went there.
They're trying to make their team better.
People are so – anyway, I could go on and on for days about that. Trey, Saturday night at State Farm Arena, the Celtics and Kyrie Irving coming in here. I'm not going to ask you about the apology to LeBron and blah, blah, blah. What I want to ask you is, does he have the best handles in the world?
Does he? I don't know. He's definitely up there. There's a few guys that could be in that conversation. He's definitely, top three for sure.
Where are you in that conversation?
Top three.
Yeah, my man!
So it's you, it's Kyrie Irving, and can I throw Steph Curry in there as well? Or
Yeah, you can throw someone else like Steph or Kimba. There's someone else can fill that spot.
Now, we can't have James Harden because he travels too damn much. I'll say it. I don't need you to say it. We all watch it. What he's doing right now is amazing. I want to ask you real quick. You came in the league as a three-point shooter. Everybody knew the way that you could shoot the three. The three ball hasn't fallen for you like you've wanted so far, although you're getting better as time progresses. How much work extra are you putting in, at the Hawks facility right now, getting up more jump shots every day?
I'm definitely making that a priority, making that an effort to – put in more work because that's not who I am, and I've always been able to hit shots, and this is kind of new to me, not being able to knock down shots, and so just putting in more work, and the numbers are steadily increasing, and that's all I can focus on is just how I can get better each and every day.
Trey, can't thank you enough, man. God bless you. Stay healthy. Keep kicking butt. Keep getting wins. Enjoy your time, MLK Day, All-Star Weekend, all that jazz, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on.
Anytime. Trey Young, Hawks rookie here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And now we got to give away $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Cowboy.
Cowboy.
The cowboy, pardon me, the...
Cowboy.
Took an L. To the Rams.
Well, I was going to say one of my favorite DJs around town is DJ.
Cowboy.
Hey, he DJ'd my wedding. It's
great
my dude.
Great dude.
Love DJ Cowboy.
Did he get paid extra for the delay before the wedding? Did he get paid extra for that?
I think he was paid by the event, not by the hour.
By the hour.
I was just saying, if he was paid by the hour, I'd need to pick up some extra shifts around here.
Did it go to overtime? Did you have to pay him time and a half
or something?
No,
I did not.
Anyway, the code word for this hour is cowboy, C-O-W-B-O-Y. Cowboy is the word for this hour. You have until 10:59 to text cowboy to 72881. Text cowboy to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive.
No. Hey, when we get back, we're going to do a late edition of What's Up. We'll kind of say hello to everybody. Good morning. We got to talk to Trey Young right off the bat, so we had to do that before our normal shenanigans. So coming up next, that's What's Up, the latest on Tack McKinley. And I will tell you now, there is not a college football team in the country that has a worse start and close to the season than the team right there on North Avenue. Whew, it is brutal. That's next. Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
I mean, just that I belong. I belong in this league, and I can compete with anybody in this league on any given night, and that's just what I got from that. And everybody knows Russell was the MVP a few years ago, and he's been playing at such a high level lately, and it's shown. So I think it just showed that I belong in this league. I can play compete at a high level.
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
All right, moments ago, we had Trae Young. Awesome stuff right there. John, that interview is up on the website, 929thegame.com and iTunes.
And it was he's really good. I mean, we got a chance to meet Trae a few months ago, and, you know, the talk about Atlanta United was really awesome. Before we get into what's up, we got to say hi. Everybody, you know, we just walked in, and boom, right off the bat, interview. How you doing this morning?
I couldn't be better, man. I'm rocking my red 98 jersey in honor of Tack. We'll get to him in a second. But Tack's not listening. He's in Oakland, I believe, right now. But just thinking about Tack, man. So I rocked his jersey, and you guys all laughed. And I said, you know what? I didn't feel like wearing grown-up clothes today. So got sweatpants on. And
that's because yesterday you had your banker attire on. You
looked
like Rick Vaughn from Major League, except you actually had sleeves on the shirt.
I love it. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to get into all those.
That's one
details,
of the great lines.
Yeah,
from
I had
that
to wear
movie.
Man clothes yesterday.
That's one of the great lines from that movie that's underrated. He goes, "I look like a banker." No, Vaughn, you don't look like a banker. He had like the collar cut off the shirt, the sleeves on. He had a tie just hanging down, and he looks and goes, he's like flipping the menu around. He goes, "What language is this? French? I'll order for you too." This morning, the commute. I don't know how the commute can get worse. I keep leaving 10 minutes earlier every day, and I still get here at the same stinking time. I had to take Preacher Man some of the back roads that I was taking when the bridge collapsed. 85 from Claremont down has just been an unadulterated mess. Whatever they're doing on 14th Street down here has completely killed downtown. I'll get off the exit at 8:55. It'll take me 20 minutes to literally go from there, and I can point right there, Rick, from there to here. I'd be better off leaving my car in the middle of the road and getting one of these stupid bird scooters and riding them to work.
And then you get to the elevator and sewery.
Yeah.
What is that? Sewery?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sewery. So we're balling here. Peachtree at 14th, heart of Midtown Atlanta, the heartbeat of this damn state, in Colony Square. And you get into the elevator and it smells like a sewer. So that's where we're at.
And I want to take one of those stupid red parking cones and just throw them at somebody. There are more spots blocked off downstairs by cones than there are actual cars parked in spots.
And the reason for those spots being blocked off by cones is?
I have no idea.
No reason.
No clue. There's just a cone sitting there. Preacher Man, do you have a reason?
Well, I don't have a reason, but it's funny that you're talking about that because Carla from downstairs on the 8th floor sent an email basically that there's an assistant parking with Colony Square. Like, if you get in here and there's no, because apparently there's a lot of stuff going on around us today,
right,
that more people are coming in for the daily parking, which
okay,
takes up our spaces if we can't park. But apparently there's like an assistant parking thing where if you find one of the guys downstairs in the red jackets from Colony Square, they will double park your car. Now you have to leave your keys with them, and then they will text you when your car is actually in a parking space.
That's too much.
It's like valet without the valet.
Yeah, so they're going to double park your car to jack up the people that are trying to drive around that already can't get around here because everything's broke down. Yes, we complain about our parking every day because we pay a nice amount of money for it every month, and the parking's getting worse and worse. Mark, how you doing this morning?
You know, it's funny you say that because the parking situation here is giving me stress-induced anxiety.
Yeah.
And here's the problem, though. What happens when I get stressed? I eat. And who has candy but Sean?
Uh-huh.
Sean has a candy dish. And now that I'm stressed, I eat Sean's candy. And now that I'm eating his candy, I'm gaining weight. And now that I'm gaining weight, I'm not feeling good and keeping any of my resolutions. So because of the parking situation here at Colony Square, I'm getting fat.
That's not good. I get stressed.
How's that for a roundabout way to get there for me not keeping my resolution?
I get stressed, and you know why? Because, you know, we're supposed to be here at a certain time. Normally when we parked, I could be upstairs in 4 minutes. It's taking me 10 minutes to find the spot, another 8 minutes to get upstairs, and I just get that look like this, Paul. Preacher Man, how you doing? You all right?
I'm salty today, but we're just going to keep that in-house. You and I talked about that earlier. I will not put that business out because
okay,
it's just, you know.
This is one you want to keep between me and you.
Yeah, I mean, these guys can wait. They can come in, and I'll be happy to vent, but I will. My wife will be happy that I'm actually going to hold my tongue today.
Okay.
That's what's up.
Well, let's get into what's up right about now. Tack McKinley, we talked about him at length yesterday. Detained by police, went in for a mental evaluation. Right about the time we were going off the air, Zach Klein tweeted, our buddy over there, he tweeted that Tack McKinley is now with a family member in Oakland after undergoing a mental evaluation prompted by a friend's call to police. They said that he's in a good spot, has been in constant communication with the team. TMZ had reported that his friend had become concerned. No criminal charges were filed. The best part is they had him in and out of there in less than 24 hours. That to me means maybe there wasn't as much room for concern with Tack McKinley. And for me, you know what I do now, Rick? I just go, all right, 98 will be our defensive end next year.
We're going to talk more about this in the next segment. But for Tack McKinley, we're all really relieved and reassured that he's out of the hospital. He's with family. He's fine. And just because you had a mental health evaluation does not mean you have mental health problems. It's a very key thing to know. Just because there's a headline about a mental health evaluation does not mean that he has mental health problems.
Right.
We don't know that, okay? We don't know that. So I want to make that perfectly clear. But we'll dive into more detail in the next segment. But for Tack McKinley, John, he needs to have a quiet offseason.
Right.
You cannot connect this with something else happening, okay? Because then it's drama, it's a controversy, it's a distraction, it creates content for us and all the other shows, it creates content for guess who, John? Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith, and everybody. So, Tack, we love you. I'm rocking your Red 98 jersey today because we do love you. We are ride or die with you, but have a quiet offseason from here.
Speaking of football, the Super Bowl announced who is going to sing the national anthem.
Tell me more.
Atlanta star Gladys Knight will sing the national anthem. Obviously, 7-time Grammy Award winner. So somebody that represents Atlanta in a great way. I guarantee you she is going to go out there and kill it in a good way.
So do we take the over on the length of the national anthem in the Super Bowl bets?
Because it'll be over 2 minutes probably. I'm taking the over with Gladys Knight. I'm going to say about 2.5 minutes.
LA.
I mean, listen to this voice.
Does she still have it like this?
Oh, yeah. This is majestic.
So he's leaving the light.
Was this song in Remember the Titans?
It was not.
He's come to me.
Because the movie was in Virginia, not Georgia.
Ooh.
I didn't know.
I know. You haven't seen it.
He said he's going back to find.
That's awesome, though. I like the fact
that's really cool.
As they've gone further into the musical guests that are part of the Super Bowl, Travis Scott, Big Boy, now Gladys Knight.
Is Travis Scott Atlanta?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Sheridan, I listen to Travis Scott, not all the time, but frequently. I didn't know he was Atlanta.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
So you're
cool.
Getting more back to the roots of the city. Kudos to the NFL for doing this. Like I said, Gladys Knight. I'm sorry, actually, Travis Scott may not be from Atlanta. I thought he was Atlanta. I think he is Atlanta. I don't know. I have to look that up. Let's continue on.
Yeah, anyway, that's cool. Gladys Knight singing the national anthem, man. So, our least favorite team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for some, it's the Saints. For me, you know who. They were red, white, and blue. Back in the AFC Championship game for the 8th straight time.
Mm-hmm.
Never happened before. Probably will never happen again. And the Patriots want us to feel sorry for them. I wish, but we're on camera right now. Watch 92.9thegame.com. Otherwise, I would give a big old double middle finger salute to the Patriots because I hate them. Check this out. Tom Brady in a press conference, John, said, "Everybody thinks we suck." Oh, so now we're supposed to feel sorry for you, Tom. Sorry, can't do it. And Julian Edelman has created T-shirts, John, and it says, "Bet against us."
Right.
In a stupid little cartoony, like, Patriot logo. I'm sure DJ Envy, our boy, would just love these T-shirts and pay $75.99 for them. Bet against us. The thing is, I can't bet against them.
No, nobody does.
Because I think Andy Reid is jokey as hell. By the way, I saw Charles Barkley. Sorry to name drop, but I saw Barkley random run in. He was doing some shooting an ad, actually, mid-afternoon. He's not usually there at that time. Saw him. You know, I haven't seen him in a while, so we talked a little bit. And I asked
him. So he's coming on when?
And I asked him about the playoffs. So, yeah, well, we'll get him on. And I asked him about the playoffs. He said, "I've been getting hammered on the playoffs so far." And then, you know, it came to Reid and Belichick. And I go, "Charles, you know that Andy Reid is the Mike D'Antoni of the NFL." And he kind of had to grab his knees. He was laughing. He liked that comparison a lot.
Travis Scott's from Houston.
Okay.
He just sounds Atlanta. So
he does sound Atlanta.
Close to darn enough. He does a lot of work with Amigos, so he's honorary Atlanta.
I love it. But, bet against us. It's just this whole, "Woe is me, we're the Patriots. We're playing the underdog card." It just makes me sick. But I will be taking the Patriots plus the points on Sunday.
I am not.
You're taking the Chefs, huh?
Better believe it.
Look, I hope you're right. I hope the Patriots lose, but this is a mind-over-heart pick for me.
The Patriots have been great at home. They've been pretty average on the road this year.
I get it. You're totally right. John, I go back to the Andy Reid choke factor in the playoffs. I can't get over it. And, like, beating a tired Indianapolis team at home is not that breakthrough win for me for Andy Reid.
Sure.
You beat the Goats to go to the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
That's the breakthrough win I need to see.
Yeah, I mean, he's been to a Super Bowl before. The Eagles went four straight times to the NFC Championship, finally broke through, played a great game against the Patriots, just could not get over the hump. So, Andy Reid, this still wouldn't be a breakthrough. The breakthrough is you got to win the trophy.
I get it, but you got to have, two breakthroughs then. You got to have the breakthrough before the breakthrough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like on Jersey Shore when they'd have on the shirt before the shirt.
Dude, what about your boy, The Situation? Isn't he going to the slammer?
Yeah, he's got 8 months in jail.
Is he going to, like, country club? Am I stealing a story here?
Oh, no, he's already in jail.
Yeah.
He Facebook Lived his trip in the car to jail.
Yeah.
So is he, like, in real deal jail or is he in country club jail?
Yeah, probably country club because he got 8 months for tax evasion of some sort.
Again, I don't think you should be subjected to you-know-what for tax evasion if you pay your taxes. I just don't. We talk about that all the time. Like, pay your tax bill and move on with your life.
Dude, I don't think you should be in jail for tax evasion. I think you just get to pay it back.
You pay it back and move on.
I got a feeling, though.
Maybe some community service, John. Yeah, help the kids. Paint some schools. Come
I got
on.
A feeling, Preacher Man, The Situation is probably off to the side. They don't want a television star, you know, mixing and mingling with Gen Pop.
They would eat him alive.
Yeah, yeah. He had gotten to be a little bit chubby, too, on the reruns. He was now the chubby situation.
Doesn't everybody go into prison and come out chiseled from lifting weights the whole time?
What else is there to do? You do push-ups. You
I would not. I've never been there.
You do some thrusts. You do all that
thrusts,
stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. You do all of those things. Where do we go now with Tack McKinley? The latest on what's going on.
Where was the soap joke, John? No soap joke?
No.
All right, continue on. I'm sorry.
Again, I don't want Mark dumping us this early in the morning. Tack McKinley, where do we go with him? That's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Game. Cody was the stabber and did an amazing job. Did not have to do it twice or three times.
Final cut. Hold on now.
I like it heavy. I like it hard. And we bring it to you.
Get it cracking then. Let's go.
I'm going to fillet you, and then I'm going to have you later on a sandwich with a little hot sauce.
Just slice me right open, grill me, and I'll be lovely.
Snoop Dogg in the house. Let me see some.
I love it, man. Rick and John throwing our midday party on your home for Super Bowl 53 in the ATL, the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. And let's talk Falcons right now as we listen to a little Rage Against the Machine. Thank you. Because I like it hard and heavy. Didn't I establish that yesterday? I
thought it was heavy and hard, but now it's hard.
Heavy and hard, and it will now live in infamy.
I like it heavy, I like it hard, and we bring it to
here
you.
Here we go. I like it heavy, I like it hard. I don't know what happened at the end of ARD right there.
You turned into Boston, you went hard.
That's how it happens
sometimes.
I like
it heavy, I like it hard.
Tack McKinley, John. Mm-hmm. Here's where I'm at with Tack. This obviously isn't the best look. It created headlines. It created stirs and conversation and all that kind of stuff. I think that right now all I have to take away is much ado about nothing.
Right.
No charges filed, no arrest made, released almost immediately from the hospital. He's at home with family enjoying his offseason. I'm turning the page, and I'm not looking back. And I'm not – like I said, if you have a clean and quiet offseason and we don't have one plus one, then I'm moving on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to look back. And I'm not going to wonder, the state of mental health with Tack McKinley. I'm just going to kind of blow it off. And yesterday, I know I was talking about, what happened to create the concern with the friend that called it. I'm still curious about that.
Sure.
I'd still love to know that. But the guy, it's not like he was checked in to a rehab facility or a mental health facility. He was let go. Doctors evaluated him and said, you're good, bro. See ya. Enjoy your off season. So I'm moving on with my life, dude.
I am too. And it could have been simply a situation where Tack had become agitated with something and was getting to an angry level, and his friend goes, dude, we gotta take this situation and make sure it doesn't, evolve into a destroyed hotel room or you ranting and raving down in the lobby or throwing something at somebody. You never know. Any one of us can get irritated at stuff. We've got irritated at each other and stormed out of the studio and went in the back and, all right, now let's calm down and get back in here and we keep things moving. You don't know if that's how it played out with Tack. My thing is the fact that in less than 24 hours he was home with friends, there ain't much more to this story. And I agree with what you said earlier. Tack needs to go back, do some workouts, do his off-season work, probably chill out with friends and family and stay low-key for a while. But it's not a situation where the NFL is going to be looking for him. It's not a situation where they're going to want to test him or they're going to start, you know, hey, we've got to put him in some type of protocol. I think this was a one-off. We've never heard Tack McKinley be in this kind of situation before. And the Falcons move on. The best thing for that is we no longer need to go, do we need an extra edge rusher to replace Tack McKinley? I think we all know Tack's going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, that is if it's not 1+1 or 1+1+1. Again, have a clean offseason. And I'm not saying don't have fun. Have your fun. Just do it responsibly. Do it the right way. And you know what I mean? And we all love Tack. Look, I fell in love with the dude on draft night coming out. Foaming at the mouth, you know, dropping F-bombs on national TV. Like, I'm like, who in the hell is this tornado? I like this guy. And I'm still there. I'm wearing a Tack McKinley jersey right now to honor the dude. So I'm good with him, John. But, you know, we're media dudes. And, right. and we follow the bouncing ball in the regular season.
I'm a radio guy. You're a media dude.
And the offseason. So don't give us another reason to talk about you. Okay, we should not be talking about Tack McKinley again until training camp, John.
Well, maybe OTAs. Maybe he goes out and has a great OTA. You never know.
But don't they say everybody looks great in T-shirt and shorts?
I know. You know I'm kidding because OTAs and voluntary workouts and all this other nonsense, I know what it means to the team. To me, I don't care. It's not winning a football game. It's not losing a football game. I don't care if Julio, Matt, Devontae, and everybody stay at home. And I know Dan Quinn wouldn't really appreciate that. He wants guys at OTAs, and it's mandatory for some. But to me, it's much ado about nothing. As long as Tack's there, as long as I don't hear shoulder surgery, knee surgery, Achilles surgery, none of that, I'm okay with Tack McKinley.
Totally, man. We're the home of the Falcons here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, John, let's downshift into Austin Hooper.
Yes.
Let's give this dude some love.
Absolutely.
And, look, I'm a man. I'm 40. I can admit when I was wrong.
Or 49.
All right? A lot of people in this business can't admit when they're wrong. I'm not that dude. I've got a lot of opinions. I'm right a lot of the time, and I'm wrong sometimes. And I was wrong about Austin Hooper. I wanted us to get a new tight end in here. I didn't like the fight in him last year. He had the dropsies last year. He got sort of pouty in the media about some of the criticism against him. Wasn't crazy about that. But I got to give it to Austin Hooper. I retreat on all that, man. This dude caught 71 balls for 660 yards and 4 touchdowns. Those are Pro Bowl numbers, y'all. When you catch 70-plus as a tight end, you're getting busy. And I know the average per catch isn't great at 9.3. I'm not worried about that. He was a staple of this offense. He talked about improving. Matt Ryan talked about him improving. And you're like, I mean, I'd like to see it. I'm hopeful of it. Bam, we saw it. All the time they spent together and running routes and getting familiar with each other, it paid off, dude. So congrats to Austin Hooper making the Pro Bowl.
And, yeah, he is replacing Zach Ertz, who's not going to play in the Pro Bowl, but Austin Hooper getting there. Guess what? The bonus check, if there's one in that contract, will still cash whether he's a replacement or not. And that's a great honor for a young player. I was with you. I thought they should have added to the tight end position more than Logan Paulson. I also said, you know, I thought Austin Hooper was a guy that can make a progression. He had, what, 50 catches the year before? I didn't think he'd go all the way to 71, especially as the fourth option on the football team. Julio, Muhammad, and Calvin Ridley were 1, 2, and 3 as far as your option goes. And then Austin Hooper becomes the fourth option. What he earned this year was trust of Matt Ryan. Matt could throw the ball, maybe a 50-50 ball in the middle of the field with traffic around him, and Austin Hooper was coming down with that ball more times than not. I only remember one egregious drop, and that was in the end zone on a touchdown play, maybe against Arizona. But he had one that was in his hands and went through. Other than that, Austin Hooper caught everything. And think back the year previous. He had 4 or 5 egregious drops.
He did.
One of which cost you a football game against the Dolphins as the ball went in and out of his hands and got intercepted. This year, you didn't have that. If you get 70 catches a year out of Austin Hooper, he's your tight end for the next 8 years.
No doubt. And you're going to have to pay him if he
eventually
keeps this
yes.
up. Yeah, the recepts for – I shouldn't say it that way. The receptions for – it's one of those Kamala shorts that nobody understands. The receptions, John, have gone 19, 49, 71
yep.
in his 3 years in the league. So bravo to Dimitroff and Quinn for drafting him. It took a minute. But, look, third year's the pop year. Like I don't know if you agree with this or not. I wouldn't really apply it to baseball. Baseball's different for a lot of reasons. But in basketball and football, I don't. I usually don't play the bus card on a guy until that third year, because that's just it's a year. It's a, it, that extra year of maturity. Now you're a grown bleep man in the NFL. You're a third year vet. All right, let's go. Let's see who you are. Let's see you realize your potential. And Austin Hooper certainly did that, and I applaud him.
And he became a more willing blocker, which was one of the big knocks on him early on, is he didn't block, and that's why you had Levine Toilolo. He's still not great. There's still times he get blown up. But as a tight end, you got to be a willing blocker. Every now and then, you got to get your mouthpiece bloodied. You got to hit somebody in the shoulder and knock them to the ground.
Here's the one thing I don't want to hear is that his blocking is as good, if not better, than his pass catching.
No.
I don't want to hear that because that's not true. That's not the Austin Hooper I see on the field. His pass catching is a lot better than his blocking.
Well, and what's interesting, tight end's still a position of need for them. Logan Paulson was on a one-year deal. I'll be honest, Logan Paulson's not a guy that I care if he's back one way or the other. He was brought in to be a blocking tight end. I didn't always see him winning at the line of scrimmage. And if you're a blocking tight end that's not winning at the line of scrimmage, I'm good with you. Eric Saubert, okay, he looks like he can play
a little bit.
But what does he do? He catch a couple of balls. He's a long strider. He's your third tight end. I still need a number two tight end in this offense.
Not mad at you. I mean, late round pick, I don't know. We've got all this draft stuff to evaluate, but I would not be mad at a tight end in the sixth or seventh round.
It may be simply, much like Logan Paulson, signing another guy, finding somebody that fits into your system. And remember, Dirk Koetter used the tight ends a lot more. O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate caught a lot of passes in that offense. So you almost need a second guy to complement what Austin Hooper's bringing you.
And quickly, John, here on the home of the Falcons, we might be losing a coach.
Yeah, it could be. And this is...
Here we go, John.
It'll make Rick laugh.
Here we go.
The guy that was assigned to be kind of the clock management dude, Kyle Flood, might be leaving to go to Alabama.
For?
A job.
Now, do they have an OC right now? Do they have an offensive coordinator?
It's going to be Steve Sarkisian.
Oh, that's right. They did hire Sark. All right, so that dude would go over there and...
I think he'd be a coach of some sort. I don't know. Line coach, who knows?
I don't know. Like, I don't know about this trend of NFL head coaches having a dude that does some, like, in-game clock management stuff. That's nutty to me. But I'm 49. I grew up with Chuck Knoll, Tom Landry, guys like that.
They
made all, Bear Bryant. I mean, they made all the calls. That's just where I'm from.
I'm just saying, if Dan needs a clock management guy, I could double down on the sideline.
You're there.
Do sideline reports.
just plug you right in,
just
man.
Just throw me a little couple of extra bucks on the side. And,
if that's the case, I'll be texting you, John, call a timeout.
I'll tell him when to punch a timeout. What do you guys think about that? Me as the clock management dude. Give me a red challenge flag. I'll toss that sucker at one of those stupid
officials.
Will you
throw it right at Jeff Triplett's face?
Oh, yeah. I'm going right after one of those guys. Ed Hockley's not there anymore, so I don't have to worry about anybody punching me in the face. Hey, the transfer portal is changing college football. Do you guys like it? Do you want outright free agency? Let's get into a debate about this next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Now it's time to reveal...
And here we go from the Kia Studios, man, the 11 o'clock hour. And I love free agency in professional sports. Right now, we're dealing with it in Major League Baseball. Manny Machado, what are you waiting for? The Chicago White Sox are ready to pay you $25 million per year to help turn that franchise around in Chicago. And he doesn't want it. So that's free agency, the hot stove we talk about. In mere moments, we will be clocking NFL free agency. We love that. NBA free agency, obviously, is near and dear to my heart. It starts ding, 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 July 1.
I'm already trying to trade people in the NBA.
And popping. And so I'm a fan of free agency. I love contracts, the machinations of teams, depth charts, all that nerdy, researchy crap. And now it is applying to college football. Not officially, but, John, here's the thing with all of these quarterbacks calling their shot, and I want to go to the league, and I got to go here to make that happen. I love it. It's empowering the have-nots, and I like that. But to me, John, the NCAA, they could, but they won't because they're so stuck in history and tradition, and they're just so afraid to make a bold move, I think, right? That I don't think they can just come. Mark Emmert can come out with a press conference and say, we are opening up free agency in college football, and anybody can transfer anywhere that they want. Now, I like that. I wish that's the way this would go, but I don't think the NCAA is ready to just open the lid on that. So, John, what you have here is unofficial free agency. Mm-hmm. They haven't flipped the switch on it, but they kind of sort of have. And the beginning of it was Shea Patterson and letting him go through the waiver process of not having to sit out a year to Michigan from Ole Miss, who obviously had all the problems down there. And now you have Justin Fields and Tate Martell and all these guys that are going to appeal to the NCAA for that waiver to not have to sit out a year. And I believe the NCAA is going to put the, you know, when they knight you in medieval times, I think they're going to put the little sword on your shoulder and say, cool, go wherever you want. So it's sort of unofficial free agency. And, John, I love it.
It's always been there. You've always been able to transfer wherever you wanted. It's the waiver policy that they've gotten a lot more lenient on. I don't want unofficial free agency in college football, because then what you're going to have is every freshman that comes on campus that doesn't get his way, I'm leaving, I'm going somewhere
else. Well, wait a minute. Did you say the wrong word there? You said, I don't want unofficial free agency.
I don't want it because it would be unofficial. Because it's not free agency because you're not actually getting paid to go somewhere else.
But you're saying you don't want the NCAA to go wild, wild west.
No, absolutely not.
Me and John Fricke want wild, wild west. Receivers, defensive linemen, whoever, you can decommit and go wherever you want and just create paths all over the country.
Yeah, I do not want that. I think that turns into a very spoiled, entitled system where kids go, oh, I'm not getting my way, I'm leaving. I think that's nonsense. You make a commitment, and I get it. If you were paying these kids like they should, then I wouldn't have as much problem with free agency. Right now, their only payment is a scholarship, which they earn by playing for this school. You have the dichotomy right now with college football where you only get 85 scholarships, and coaches and programs recruit based on, okay, I might lose three guys to the NFL and I have 17 seniors, so I have 20 spots opening up. I need to fill these 20 spots. And maybe I overfill them because there's three or four guys that are going to leave the program on their own accord. If you start having to re-recruit, because think about all the guys that right now are in the transfer portal. When do they put their names in there? After early signing period had already hit. If you start having to re-recruit everybody, the wild, wild west, it's going to become a point. How much can I pay one of these kids to get here? How much do I wine and dine this kid to get here? I'm going to be openly recruiting against you during the season. Hey, you're not getting enough time, dude. You know, you do the gradual walk by on the field, you're not getting enough time. I'll get you time here. I don't need that in college football. It's corrupt enough as it is. I think a free agency opens it up to even more corruption.
I mean, I can't disagree with that. But again, like Wild Wild West style, I'm totally cool with duffel bags full of money. I'm totally cool with wining and dining families to get that kid to go to your school. Like, I'm okay with that. I like that. I encourage cheating in big time college football. So I'd be cool with it. I understand what you're saying. And so in sort of the wussification of America, that would spiral if you made it the Wild Wild West, where a freshman defensive lineman could say, I'm looking up at the depth chart, I got two guys ahead of me, this sucks, I'm taking my ball and going home.
Mm-hmm.
John, I that's not what I foresee when I look at the Wild Wild West free agency in college football. I don't like that. That's dirty to me as well. But I don't know how you layer it and legislate it, right? I'm talking about the big-time guys. I'm talking about future NFL type of guys. But, you know, how do you vet that? And how do you determine who is and who isn't? That's a hurdle for me.
Right.
But just theoretically, idyllically, I think I said the word wrong. Oh God, here we go. You'll hear that on Friday.
Yeah. And the actual definition the right way.
I'm just going to leave that word alone.
No, do it again. Try it one more time.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Come on.
Ideally.
Yeah, there you go. That's a
Look
little
it up. Is that a word?
Yeah, that's it.
I got somewhere stuck between like ideology and ideally, and that happened. Okay, so that was a mess. I'm going to clean that up right now. Do you have any Windex and some paper towels?
I do, actually. Yeah, I was cleaning up in the gym yesterday. I had a
Wait, you have wet wipes when you go to the bathroom. Can I have a couple of those?
Yeah, they're right there in my
actually,
mailbox.
That kind of grosses me out.
Really?
How's
that gross you out?
Yeah, just kind of.
It's not like I use them and put them back in there.
No, I get it. The whole thing, though. Dude, my man, John. You are a rare bird. Okay. Most of us have a backpack of some sort where we put stuff like that in, like wet wipes when you go to the can. John will just walk from his car through the spa to the elevator up here with the wet wipes in his hand. I mean, I love you. I'm not dissing you. I've never seen a cat roll like that.
Dude, when I got to go to the bathroom, I walk to my mailbox. I pull out the wet wipes. I'll tell Rick, you might have to bring us back from this break. I go do what I got to do. What do I got to be ashamed about? We all do it.
I love it.
I'm respectable enough. I have not crop dusted the studio yet. I haven't gone back there and hot boxed the studio for Paul and Mark. It kind of held the door.
The building is crop dusted us today.
It really is.
So it's horrible.
There's
it's
a very
awful.
Sewery flavor around here.
Yeah, you could taste it. It's like mayonnaise and ketchup.
Do you remember what's it?
And Step Brothers?
Yes.
Yeah, onion
Seth
and ketchup.
Seth Rogen. It's like, I could taste it. Could you please pull that clip up, please?
Unlike Robbie Rosenhaus, please get the clean version of
Dude,
that clip.
They wore their dad's tuxedos to a job interview to be janitors.
And Converse. Remember, they both had Converse on.
I love that movie so much, man. By the way, has anybody seen Sherlock Holmes with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly?
No. No interest.
It looks kind of garbagey. Have you guys seen it?
No. No interest.
Has anybody heard anything about it?
No. Nothing at all.
By the way, I saw Night School. I thought that looked garbagey. The Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish movie, Charity Night, really liked it.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I was watching it on the plane. I want to get back to this, what you were talking about for a second. How can they make this transfer thing right? I think the way they're doing it now makes it right. The NCAA, are there going to be kids that lawyer up and try to go out and get the waivers? Yes, Justin Fields is lawyering up. Tate Martell's lawyering up. They're going to try to get the transfer. And I think there's going to be times where the NCAA goes, dude, it's just easy. Let them have the transfer. It's no need for us to sit in court and litigate this and fight and let them have immediate eligibility. What they've also done is stripped away, at least the SEC has, and some other conferences are following suit, they've stripped away the – if you're a grad transfer, you're not going to transfer to the school where you want to. We're going to dictate where you go. The SEC finally said, dude, it's over. What was the corner's name for Georgia that transferred from Alabama 2 years ago? And Alabama was saying, no, we're not going to do this. And then Georgia fought it. And then he ultimately ended up being able to transfer to Georgia. The way it works now, it deters enough kids from transferring because they have to sit out the year unless they're the grad transfer. That's right. Smith was his last name.
Yeah, Maurice Smith.
Maurice Smith.
Yep.
So you have enough kids that are willing to sit out the year and they transfer. I have no problem with that because there's a penalty attached to it that you're going to sit a year to leave. There are going to be rare instances, and I think Justin Fields will get the waiver. Tate Martell, I don't know if he has a leg to stand on or not. He's going to try to get the waiver, and he's already lawyered up. He's also going to try to be a grad transfer and finish graduation by May. But you're not going to see more than, I'd say, a handful every year get that waiver. And I think that makes free agency good enough, but it still gives guys reason to pause to run and leave to another school.
I'm happy with it as it is, John, because the NCAA is softening with their restrictions and their rules and their policies, which we've all called very archaic for years. So I like that the NCAA is softening. Now, again, I go back to Todd Gurley's stupid suspension. I still can't believe – I mean, I can. But the NCAA dinged him 4 games for autographs in the middle of the season. It's outrageous. And the fact that Mark Richt and the powers that be with Georgia didn't fight that harder, because I believe that I will take this to my grave. I believe if they fought it tooth and nail like Ohio State would have, like Alabama would have, it would have been 1 game or maybe no games. Mm-hmm. Johnny Manziel, what, do you get a half for basically the same thing? Guess what? Because Texas A&M fought it like tooth and nail. And the NCAA was like, fine, screw it. But Georgia just said, okay, we'll take it. 4 games is mentioned. And then he comes back in the next game. He pops his damn ACL. All right? I just hate that story. But, John, this is good for college football. The puzzle pieces fit. Why have 3 stud quarterbacks on one team when 2 of those quarterbacks could go to 2 other teams and make those 2 other teams better and more competitive, and you get better football games?
Yep.
So I just think this is a positive trend for college football that these guys can call their shots and go where they want to go.
Well, and here's what I will also say. And I put a video up, and you can follow us on social media at 92.9 The Game, at Rick and John 929, at John Michaels 929. I signed the paper, and
I did not.
Yeah, which makes you not a sellout. And maybe I am. But I put up a video. I do the College Football Scoop a couple of days a week. And my video yesterday, and it was posted this morning, was about the transfer portal. Here's what I'll tell you, though. If you're a coach, you better have a grasp on this, because there are going to be free agents, so to speak, in college football that can help your team. Shane Buechele just announced today that he's going to go into the transfer portal. I believe James Blackman of Florida State is going in the transfer portal. You had Jalen Hurts as a grad transfer go in the portal. He's obviously going. So just think from the quarterback scenario how this works out. Jalen Hurts goes from backup to starter at Oklahoma. Justin Fields goes from backup to starter at Ohio State. Tate Martell goes from backup to starter at Miami. You have three programs that immediately have upgraded their quarterback room just because of the transfer window. Shane Buechele, and I think he'll be a grad transfer by the time he's done.
These guys, man.
He's a starter if he goes somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And a damn good one. James Blackman, if he goes to the right place, is a starting-level quarterback. You could have five, six starting-level quarterbacks that have moved to better situations, and maybe this helps make college football just a little bit more competitive. Jacob Eason's a starting-level quarterback who transferred.
I definitely think it makes college football more interesting and more competitive.
Give away $1,000.
All right, let's endeavor that.
Give somebody some money.
It's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
best, B-E-S-T. Mark and Paul are
best
friends in the back. They hug each other. They train each other. They're great, but you got to text best right now to 72881. Again, best to 72881. A great Travis, the great Travis
best
used to play point guard right down here on North Avenue.
Phenomenal dude, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of people locally I know Travis best. I've met him a couple times. Could not be a nicer guy. By the way, he's from Springfield, Massachusetts.
Did not know that.
From the home of the Hall of Fame.
Best is your code word. 72881 is where you text the word best to. Message and data rates do apply. Do not text and drive for complete rules. Visit 929thegame.com/rules.
My guy Steve Smith, obviously basketball legend, analyst on NBA TV and CBS for tournament games. He still plays ball with former NBA players, right? They get together, they have a run in that guy. He says Travis best runs those runs.
Really?
Hooping. Still hooping, like, at a very high level. I wanted to make a point about Shane Buechele, John. And to me, this conversation, I like the debate about free agency and all that, and playing tennis on that is cool. I also want to talk a little bit individually about these quarterbacks and their scenarios here. I feel like there's more meat on the bone for us to talk about Jalen Hurts going to Oklahoma and sort of playing that forward and seeing how that goes. But Shane Buechele, to me, I really liked him when it was him and Ellinger, and it was sort of like, who's the dude? And they went back and forth. I like Buechele. He throws a good football. And to me, West Virginia would be the spot for him. And well, I don't know if West Virginia has already called their shot on their
dude. Well,
they've
already picked up a quarterback.
Who did they get?
They got Austin Kendall, the grad transfer from Oklahoma. Oklahoma was trying to say, no. We're not letting him transfer to West Virginia because that's in conference.
Of course.
They finally, after signing Jalen Hurts, backed off. So Austin Kendall will go to West Virginia. They already have Jack Allison there. So I don't know that Shane Buechele...
How dare you bring up that guy's name? I watched that bowl game. Austin Kendall, you said?
Yes.
You know, he got some mop-up duty behind Kendall, behind Kyler Murray this year. I didn't see much. Can he play?
I don't know. I mean, who knows? He sat the bench for a while, and that's why he's transferring to West Virginia.
I mean, so that ship has sailed.
And to me, TCU's picked up a new quarterback, Alex Delton, Kansas State's old quarterback. He's allowed to transfer and immediately play. So the Big 12 got more interesting with guys changing teams in conference.
Well, Alex Delton, to me, he was at Kansas State. Skylar Thompson was the other QB. Again, one of those back-and-forth deals. Who's the dude? Who's the dude? I don't really like either of them, so I don't think TCU has this coup in getting Alex Delton, but maybe it works out. Who knows? Jalen Hurts would have been a coup for TCU. You know, maybe we do this around the corner here, but I'm intrigued by all this stuff. You know, Shane Buechele, UCLA.
Right. That'd be another good spot.
You know, how about UCLA out there with Chip Kelly? But
about Washington State?
There you go.
You want to go play in that offense?
Dude, do you see how fun this is?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you like playing this game with the NFL with Antonio Brown? Where the hell is he going, man?
Right.
Who's he going to be traded? Like, we're doing this with college football now. John, 5 years ago, would we be having – no, 2 years ago, would we be having this conversation?
Absolutely
not. I think it's a dope trend in college football.
And again, for me, the biggest thing is coaches need to recognize the tool that this can be. If you're not recruiting great, say your team's 30th or 40th in recruiting, if I'm Georgia Tech, I'm on the phone with everybody. Shane Buechele, how about right here on North Avenue to come play in this offense? 92.9 The Game's third annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship presented by Camu the Game Day Cognac. It's happening Saturday, January 26th at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Go to 92.9thegame.com/gamebowl for more info. There's plenty of family fun at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs with bowling, bumper cars, laser tag, arcade games, and more. Preacher Man, we are going to whoop the other shows when it comes to bowling.
Yes, we are.
We're going to lay a beat down. And I noticed John Fricke was a little salty today.
Yeah, he was
we've got five people on our show. Well, that's not our problem. It takes 11 people to produce your show. We do four, and we do a great job. We continue the conversation on the transfer portal. Also, Georgia Tech, the worst schedule of anybody, I promise you, as we get into that next of Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Was that a fart?
I don't know. I can taste it. I'm a tongue.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. I did fart.
Is that onion? Onion and ketchup.
It's The Game.
And I think it's a really good get for OU. But I don't think that this isn't going to be easy for Jalen. I don't believe Lincoln Riley is assuring him anything. If I know Lincoln at all, and I think I do, there will be a competition Jalen will have to win. That would not have been the case, in my opinion, at Miami, and it certainly wouldn't have been the case at Maryland. But I also think that he's got a little bit of work to do, especially as a passer, to just slide into that offense and tear it up.
That is Dari Noka of SEC Network. I'm with Dukes and Bell. You can hear the entire interview on iTunes and 92.9thegame.com. I disagree. I don't think there's going to be any competition at all for Jalen Hurts. I think he will be the dude there at Oklahoma. This is our college football cheat sheet, y'all. It's brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Go ahead. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up, another way to make you smile at rsandrews.com.
Well, interesting out of that, Dari Noka again on with Dukes and Bell. You see what Spencer Rattler had to say?
Do you agree with me or not?
Will there be a competition? I think a little bit.
No way.
And once I read this, I'll explain to you why. Spencer Rattler, the number one recruit that they have coming
in. Five star.
Lincoln Riley had assured him that they would not be taking any more quarterbacks, including transfers. So Spencer Rattler was not very happy yesterday that Jalen Hurts announced he was going to Oklahoma. I think to placate the freshmen, to go back to what we were talking about with kids transferring, they will have it as a competition. Now, is it a true competition, much like Trevor Lawrence and Kelly Bryant? Is it a more farcical competition like Jake Fromm and Justin Fields? I think there'll be a competition of some sort. Jalen Hurts will ultimately be the starter, but to placate the young freshmen, they're going to have to make it look. They'll be equal one reps during spring and fall practice.
I don't know anything about that. I would put two of my three man parts, the two of the three that are, I guess, least important for day-to-day operations, on Jalen Hurts being a quarterback of the Oklahoma Sooners game one without any kind of – it ain't going to be Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion – where let's see how it goes and let's see which guy plays better and then he gets the job. Why would Jalen Hurts go to Oklahoma for a competition? I don't think that he would. I think he's going to Oklahoma. And now it's not a true pro style, but you got to throw the hell out of the rock,
yeah,
which is going to impress NFL scouts if you can get that done and put you on the NFL radar, whereas right now you're kind of sort of not on the NFL radar. That's why you go to Oklahoma. Look, there's probably going to be headlines, right, John? Lincoln Riley says there's a quarterback.
Sure.
It's all BS.
It's the same thing we heard from Kirby Smart.
And it was all BS. It was always going to be Jake Fromm. Justin Fields never had a chance at that starting job. Now, I said it should have been a true competition just to see who's better. I don't believe that Justin Fields got that crack in a legitimate 50-50 coin flip competition with Jake Fromm. Now, here's the thing with Jalen Hurts, John. At Alabama, you know, pre-Tua, it wasn't about throwing the football.
Right.
It was about a game manager, you know, read option, running the ball, defense, we're going to win a championship. So he didn't have to get better at throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Tua comes in, throwing the ball through the air is going to be the first overall pick in the NFL draft, all that stuff. I think that shifted the offense to we're more of a, you know, balanced attack here. We're going to throw the ball more. Jalen, I believe, threw the ball a lot this year. More was demanded of him in the passing game this year. He looked better in the SEC championship game throwing the ball. Small sample, though. Now he goes to Oklahoma, John, and he's going to have an entire offseason in that system just throwing the ball. And we know he's an athlete. The running's always going to be there for him. He's got to get better at advancing the ball downfield. if he wants to go to the NFL and if he wants to be really good at Oklahoma and take them to the college football playoff. So I am going to be fascinated to watch the improvement in Jalen Hurts throwing the football. I think he's going to be markedly better throwing the rock, John. I think it's going to be obviously visible that we're like, damn, Jalen, I didn't know you could do that. So I'm super excited he's going to Oklahoma. And that five-star freshman can be in his feelings all he wants. What I would advise that kid right there is take the duffel bag of money that you got from Oklahoma, hook up your family, be quiet, wait a year, and you will be the dude, and you will instantly be in the Heisman Trophy conversation, okay? And guess what? How many pretty girls are on the campus of Oklahoma?
Couple.
How many pretty girls that love hanging out with football players?
Couple.
I'm just saying, enjoy your life, young man. Learn, groom, take some advice from the classy Jalen Hurts. Your time will come.
But this goes back to the problem we've talked about. I don't want to say lying to these kids, telling these kids one thing and they doing something else. Back in the day, that kid, unless he talked to his local paper, this story never gets out. Now they have social media. They immediately go on there. They complain. And now there's a stigma attached to Spencer Rattler. There's a stigma attached to Lincoln Riley. The next kid that comes in goes, well, wait a second. You promised this guy something you didn't deliver. That's where this whole thing has changed the way college football is being run. I want to put up a Twitter poll, Mark, at Rick and John 929. We were talking about the transfer portal. Let's ask it something like this. How would you like the transfer portal to run? Complete free agency, just the wild, wild west. You transfer whenever you want.
Q cool mode.
Free agency, but you can only transfer once, meaning you can't just go, hey, I'm transferring this year, and next year I'm transferring again.
Tate Martell?
Right, yeah. Well, he's only transferred once. He just committed to, like, four different schools.
Oh, right.
He's only transferred
once. Who's the dude that just keeps bopping all over the United?
I don't know.
Anyway.
So we could do that one. Three, like it how it is today. And then four, go back to how it was, no transfers. So we'll put that up at Rick and John 929. I've been teasing this.
Complicated, John.
Yeah, well, that's
making them think out there.
Well, that's what we want to do. We don't want them just to be able to go, boop, we push a button and keep it moving. Actually, use your brains a little bit today. What's today, Wednesday, Thursday?
It's post-hump day.
What's today, Thursday? Oh, it's Thursday. Awesome. Friday, tomorrow.
We only have to wake up one more day this week, John.
That is true. And we're off Monday.
Shut up.
You didn't know that?
Nah.
Okay, you're not
I'm
off
always
Monday.
The last to hear.
You're not off Monday. We're off Monday.
Wait a minute. We're off holidays now, right? Didn't we talk about that?
Yeah,
all right, dope. No, I get a three-day weekend?
Nope. You got to be here.
No, you got to be here. It's you solo. You're running the
just
board.
Han Solo.
You're running the board and doing the show.
There'll be a lot of dead air, ladies and gentlemen.
That there will be. All right, I wanted to get into Georgia Tech's schedule. The ACC released their schedule yesterday. We knew who was going to be on Georgia Tech's schedule as far as out of conference. But now the orders come out. There will not be a school in FBS that has a tougher beginning and ending game than Georgia Tech. They open Thursday night at Clemson, South Carolina, against the defending national champion. You're going to be on national TV with everybody watching, and you get to go to Clemson. They're going to get their rings. They're going to run down the hill. They're going to be going bananas.
Georgia Tech got 3 5-star cornerbacks in this last recruiting period,
not
right?
Yet,
to go
yet.
Up against the Clemson pass. They didn't?
No.
That's going to be a massive.
They've actually got a waiver, though, where they can play with 17 guys on defense instead of 11. 17. So you open at Clemson, and then we all know who they end the season with.
Uh-huh.
The Georgia Bulldogs.
Now, that's at the Flats this year,
it
right?
Is. Yeah. November the 30th, they will play Georgia at home. Their second game of the year, guess who their second game is?
I will say Virginia.
South Carolina.
No way.
Yes. So they start with Clemson, then they play South Carolina. And then they have Georgia to end the year. Are you kidding me? Now, then they have
is South Carolina at home.
Yes, it's at home. It's right here at Georgia.
Very winnable game. The top two QBs for South Carolina, Jake Bentley and Michael Scarnecchia, are gone. Debo Samuel is gone. I'm just saying that's a winnable game for South Carolina.
It's still
they
a
got
tough game.
For Georgia Tech. South Carolina has a lot of questions to answer on that offense.
And then I'll just run through the rest of it. They play at home against the Citadel. Mm-hmm. They're at Temple. Oh, mm-hmm. That ought to be fun. Jeff Collins going back
love
to
it.
His old stomping ground. Home against North Carolina. Then they're at Duke, at Miami, home against Pitt, at Virginia, home against Virginia Tech. Short week Thursday night, home against North Carolina State. And they actually get 9 days to prepare for the University of Georgia.
I mean, look, I can't wait to see how it. I'm officially like I'm locked
more
and loaded.
Interested.
Way more interested,
yeah,
man. Way more interested.
Way.
It just Tech fans, look, we get shady as hell. Please understand the sarcasm in it. We were tired of your program, man. A lot of you Georgia Tech fans were tired of your program. You got a new coach in here who's bringing in a modified offense of pro style and RPOs and all the stuff that we watch all the other teams do. I can't wait to watch Georgia Tech football.
That's just a tough gauntlet to start. I mean, you're at Clemson and close against Georgia. I hate to tell you, Mark, those are two losses. You're not winning those games.
No, you're not, but there's a bunch of winnable games there for
sure.
Georgia Tech. A bunch of them. NC State, bro. NC State loses Ryan Finley. And they lose Jacoby Myers, Kelvin Harmon.
Right.
Have declared. I think Jacoby Myers declared early.
I know so that, Harmon has.
No, they have. So that passing game is now gutted. And, you know, next man up. I know it's, oh, God, the guy's name's escaping me. C.J. Riley's pretty good. He caught a TD in their bowl game. And Emeka Emezi, he's good as well. But those guys aren't Kelvin Harmon and Jacoby Myers.
Then you look at it. The team's in division. North Carolina's at home. You get Pitt at home. You get Virginia Tech at home. And then your road games in division at Duke, at Miami, at Virginia. You got two tough crossover games, though. You get Clemson and NC State. You're not playing Louisville. You're not playing Wake. I mean, you get two. And I know NC State's not as good as they were this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got two very losable games in the crossover game.
You do. That NC State game is at Tech on a Thursday night. That I would favor Georgia Tech in that game.
I'll always take the home team on those short week Thursday night games.
It's a nice setup. It's a nice schedule setup for them. What's their other crossover game?
Clemson. That's not a nice schedule setup.
Not at all. And think about it. That is the first night of college football, ladies and gentlemen. That is August 29th. It's kind of like the NFL does, where the defending champ always plays on that first Thursday, and bam. But they are really throwing Georgia Tech to the wolves. They are a sacrificial lamb that night.
Yeah, here you go. New coach, new program, new energy. Now go play the defending champs.
That's it. That's all the biblical references I have for this segment. I'm out.
Here's the thing. Go get Shane Buechele. Call him right now. You're my starting quarterback.
I like it.
I know Tobias Oliver's there. I don't know how well he throws in a more standard setting.
We wouldn't know, John.
No, because he threw like twice a game. He threw like twice a month.
Your boy.
Kind of how.
Paul Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy. Paul Johnson, he's on a boat somewhere. He's got a line in the
probably
water.
Probably golf course.
Probably golf.
More of a golfer.
Is he more of a golfer?
Yeah.
I heard
he's really good.
I bet he is. Is he better than John Fricke?
Yes. I heard Paul is like scratch golfer.
Fricke's pretty good, right?
Yeah, he's not bad. Now, Arch and Wes, them dudes can hit it.
Arch's forearms. He's got Popeye forearms, this guy. He does. I bet you Arch can hit it a country mile, man.
He can.
And you know quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are good at everything.
Very effortless swing out of Dave Archer. We read between the lines next. It's always effortless with Mark Owens.
Trey Young joined us about an hour and a half ago, and if you missed that, we'll recap it. And he talks about stop with your comparisons. I don't want to hear it. We'll let you hear that next. Sports Radio 19 on the game.
But just theoretically, idyllically, I think I said the word wrong. God, here we go. You'll hear that on Friday.
Yeah. And the actual definition the right way.
Idyllically.
Wait, what?
What was that?
Let me see you. Wow.
Did you hear that? Well, that's just wrong.
What the hell?
MO brings a noise you may have missed or need to hear again with Read Between the Lines with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
Mark Owens has some amazing sound here in Read Between the Lines on your home for Super Bowl 53 in the ATL, the home of the Falcons and Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. But this is the Midday Show with Rick and John. And if you're coming in for the Super Bowl already or you're thinking about coming, because we probably have scouts in town right now, right, for a bunch of company. Look, we love you. Be safe.
Right.
And stay off our roads, okay? Traffic's already bad enough out here.
By the way, want to correct something. Thank you, CBSSports.com. I pulled up the entire ACC schedule just so I could scroll through everybody. They have Georgia Tech playing South Carolina in the second game. And appreciate the people that tweeted me. They don't play South Carolina in the second. They play South Florida. So CBS Sports needs to correct that. I'll make the correction. Apparently Jake Bentley is coming back to South Carolina, by the way. He'll be the quarterback for them this year.
How do you know that?
Some people sent a tweet from Jake Bentley that said, back for one last ride.
Why did I just researched this. It says junior here on College Football Reference. I apologize. I got that wrong. I do a lot of research. I got a little mistake, all right?
Either way, we'll turn it over to Mark Owens now. But, yeah, South Florida,
not a robot.
Much more winnable game than South Carolina in game number two.
Trae Young, rookie phenom for the Atlanta Hawks, joined us about an hour and a half ago. 92.9thegame.com if you want to hear the entire conversation. A lot of comparisons being made about Trae Young, and he said, nope, I just want to be me.
Well, Rick, I agree with you about, Stoudemire with John. That's someone who I really think plays a lot of like as well. But no, we don't really joke about it. We don't really bring it up to each other. When we're around each other, and we go out in public sometimes, and it'll get brought up, or people will call us that, and we take it and we laugh about it. They were a great duo, obviously. So, but at the same time, we try to create our own way and own path, but definitely follow with the greats and like what Amari and Steve did. So I take that as a compliment. So
remember, Steph Curry told him early in the year and told other people, stop comparing the kid to me, let him be himself. And I think he told Trae Young the same thing, play your game, don't worry about being me. And I like the fact that Trae Young is humble. He appreciates all the guys from the past. He watches, he studies, he mimics their game, but he's not trying to be them. He's just trying to be the best Trae Young that he can be.
Trae Young has been that dude for a long time. He has known he's going to be an NBA player for a long time. And when you do that, even if you're just an NBA fan, but he's an NBA fan who's going to be an NBA player. You watch these guys. He grew up watching Steve Nash, Stephen Curry, and Tony Parker.
Right.
Those are the guys that he mentions. And by the way, he has that Tony Parker floater on lock.
Yep.
The giant killer that we talk about. You get south of the free throw line and just lob that baby up there. You get the left shoulder in. You just float it over with your right hand. Forget about it. That thing is, it's a dope shot for him. He got that from Parker. He got a lot of the dribbling around from Nash, and obviously he got the 28-foot wetter from Steph. I mean, he's a combo of all three of those dudes.
Read Between Lines, I'll brought to you by our buddies at Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. One more from Trae Young. Talking about, and we've been talking about a lot this week, training camp opened up for Atlanta United earlier this week, and here he is talking about his first experience at an Atlanta United game.
The Atlanta United game was crazy, unbelievable. I've never been to a soccer game in person. For that being my first one, it was probably the best experience I could have had, and I was happy they were able to win it all this year, and so I was rooting for them all year. But no, that was an unbelievable match because that was the first one I've ever been to, so it was a crazy atmosphere for sure.
I was happy to be able to win it all this year. Mm-hmm. See what he said right there? Mm-hmm. Atlanta, he is us, we are him. He just claimed that championship. He's an Oklahoma kid. He didn't have to claim that championship.
No.
It was great to see our soccer team win a championship this year. He could have said that. He said he basically claimed the championship. I think that's really cool.
What I liked is the fact that he talked to us about it, and he said, yeah, I got to get to one. And it was a couple of weeks later, he was at the match. And I remember watching on TV, and he does the spike, and he's down on the sideline having a great time. You can tell how much he enjoyed that atmosphere.
And we told him at the introductory press conference for Herter and Spellman and Young, we talked to Trae off air, and we said, Trae, you got to get to one of these United games. And he's like, he kind of looked like, huh, what? And we're like, trust us, go. You will love the atmosphere. And he told us that the atmosphere even exceeded the expectations. And by the way, we told him it was going to be unbelievable, and it still exceeded his expectations. Love you, Atlanta United.
I got a question for you, and there's no audio attached to this, but the Atlanta Braves just released their bobblehead schedule for the 2019 season.
Okay.
Ronald Acuna on
yes.
April 26th. Swansburson, which is half Culberson, half Dansby Swanson.
I like it. That's a great idea.
Because everybody says they look exactly
alike.
They're
twin brothers.
Yep, and they cut them in half. That's going to be in June. Walter Banks is getting his own bobblehead this year.
Walter Banks is getting one for real.
The great usher who's been with the Braves
for
125 years. You know Walter Banks. If you don't,
I know who he is. He's a taller gentleman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly who he is.
Works with the Falcons, too.
I know exactly
He's been an usher for the Braves. He's almost like a public service ambassador.
He used to work with Georgia Tech. I don't know if he still works with Georgia Tech either. Walter's an awesome guy.
Very deserving
Absolutely.
For Walter to get his own bobblehead. And that's going to be on July the 5th. Ozzy Albies, and also in July, Freddie Freeman. Funko Pop. I know that's kind of a cool new thing with the kids, as old man Owens is trying to describe it.
What?
What's Funko Pop?
Funko Pop. Just Google it. You'll see what it is.
Is that like a weird brand of music?
No, it's like the new bobblehead. I don't know. And I know somebody's screaming at me going, damn it, Owens, you sound like an old man.
It's Funko Pope.
I got it up right
Take
here.
A look it's, at it, and you'll know. They're big at the comic book stores.
Yeah, it's all right. It's
kiddie
stuff.
Good with the comic cons. Very popular in pop culture and sci-fi. Once you see it, you'll understand.
Oh, they give these out at you can buy them at WWE events.
Yes.
I bought a Shinsuke Nakamura.
There it is. They are very popular. And
bless you. Bless you.
Did we both just say that at the same time?
Freddie Freeman's getting Stereo. His own in August. But the only one that kind of went, huh? Josh Donaldson.
Why not?
He's yet to play one game for the Braves.
Will he be healthy at the time?
He's getting his own bobblehead in May.
Bobblehead, which I still have.
Which they still have plenty at the stadium as well. So Josh Donaldson getting a bobblehead in May.
How many
well.
People are getting the Bartolo Colon bobblehead for Christmas?
You mean
this
how
year?
Many got? A lot.
No Brian McCann?
There's
Why bring him back?
I retweeted the video, and they're doing a bunch of gate giveaways as well. So I think a Brian McCann.
So you're going to get us an Acuna one, right?
Yeah, no, it'll be at the Will Call. Just wait.
I just brought you a very expensive case of beer.
Which, with one missing.
That was brought to your house by somebody else.
I didn't pay
so
for.
It went from warm to cold into John's fridge, now back to warm, and it's going to go back to cold into my fridge.
And see, there is one missing.
He's not a beer drinker, so he doesn't understand the hot, cold thing and how that buzz kills a beer. He doesn't even get that.
That hurts a beer, really?
Yeah, a little bit.
No, I'm going to – no, you actually got me credit. It's my wife's favorite beer, so – Tropicalia. She'd be like,
So I'll at least get a Kristen Pache bobblehead, maybe.
I'll get you a blooper bobblehead. For
really? You went with Kristen Pache. I mean, if this Brian McCann get was such a big offseason acquisition, make a damn bobblehead about it.
I am stoked about the Walter Banks one.
That's awesome.
You know what I want? Look, man, I'm going on my 13th season. I just want a sweat towel. That's all I want. You can get an AC unit. You can get a heating and air company to sponsor it to pay for the actual material. I just want a sweat towel with my big teeth on it because I sweat more than.
Ooh,
now that Brian McCann's back, we may have a second most sweat.
R.S. Andrews.
Why not? The Marco and sweat towel night.
This sponsor the quite, college football cheat sheet.
Doesn't quite sell very well.
I'm going to tell you, when Rick and I were there in July, I needed a sweat towel. Mm-hmm. Holy cow, it was hot out there.
Wait a second. I just thought of something. Okay. No Fulton Evich bobblehead? How does our all-star pitcher not get
a
bobblehead?
Well, he had him last year. And you got to understand, a lot of these people, Acuna hadn't had one. Dansby's had one, but not with Culberson. Donaldson's obviously never had one.
Ozzy had one two years ago. Okay.
The Ozzy Calrissian for Star Wars night.
Oh, nice.
Of course, Walter Banks. So I think they're trying to just mix it up.
I think more bobbleheads.
Yeah, Fulte had one at the end of the season. It was Fulte's favorite things. So, yeah. And they will do this from time to time. They will spring bobbleheads on you when you're not ready for it. They'll be like, oh, by the way, Friday, guess what? We're giving away bobbleheads.
Didn't they do a bobblehead of Freddie Freeman and Chipper Jones on the ATV?
Yep.
I actually would like to have that bobblehead.
My favorite was the Skippin' Pete, and you press a button, and it gives them play-by-plays.
Nice.
That's an old school bobblehead.
I'm going to buy this for Paul. I think Paul's a Blink-182 fan. I'm going to buy you the Travis Barker Funko Pop.
He's the drummer with all the tats, right? Isn't that who that guy is?
Sure. No idea.
Yeah, he used to be married to Shayna Mokler.
I was just going to say, I mean, he's got quite the hit list, doesn't he?
What time are we doing NBA Bounce today?
It's called
NBA
the NBA Fast
Break.
And if you were at the rundown meeting, 120.
120. Yeah. Well, look at the schedule. It's not on the schedule.
No, we don't
have it. It's not on the schedule today.
It's not on the schedule today because we have Matt Verderam at 1 o'clock. We have Slice of Life at 120.
For the love of God.
I asked.
I took the time.
And if you were at the meeting this morning, you would have realized it wasn't on the rundown.
You
were actually the only one at the meeting.
I took the time to run down and drive this morning. Topics for an NBA Fast Break. And we don't even have an NBA Fast Break.
I've even got great audio that we ran out of time because we're talking Funko Pops about Kyrie Irving apologizing to LeBron.
We'll get to that tomorrow.
But we don't have time for it because
and
of
we don't
Walter
have an
Banks.
NBA Fast Break either.
So we'll get to it next week.
Hey, but at 110, we will have our fantasy picks at 110.
Yeah, Prize Picks.
Yeah, Prize Picks, which, by the way, I won last night.
Prize Picks.
If you listen to me, you would have won. 110, you'll have your chance. Prize Picks. Go ahead and get on there. Check them out. We go around the 404 coming up next. What did Kevin Herter have to say to the guys on the morning show, John and Hugh? And how much were they whining in their beer about bowling? We'll get into all of that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.